Dr. Pinsky with a supplemental report on Brenda Hall-Johnson. As you know, I previously evaluated Ms. Hall-Johnson as described in my report to you of 6-8-23. You have now provided me with additional medical documentation to consider in this case. Period. Some of it will overlap, which that was previously provided. In paragraph, these records show she was seen on 3-16-22 by Dr. Bajarski, period. This was a preoperative medical evaluation, period. In paragraph, she was seen at Virtual Occupational on 10-18-21 with an injury date also of 10-18-21. She stated she rolled a patient over and something popped and pain started. She had severe pain in the lateral posterior left thigh. She admitted to a history of back surgery 6 years ago, but states this is different. She drove herself to the office today. Period. Nurse practitioner Steele, S-T-E-E-L, empirically diagnosed lower back strain and placed her on prednisone. Period. She returned on 10-21-21 and stated she still had 10/10 level pain despite time, rest, and prednisone. She called her primary care physician and was given Percocet, but she states she did not tolerate it due to vomiting. Period. She was then referred for orthopedic spine specialist consultation. Period. Ms. Steele noted exam was limited by pain and not fully performed due to history. Period. She did undergo lumbar spine x-rays on 10-23-21 compared to a study of 6-30-15. There were no acute abnormalities. She was status post-fusion at 04-5. Period. She was seen neurosurgically by Dr. Mager, M-E-A-G-H-E-R, on 11-1-21, complaining of lower back pain radiating down the left leg. She stated this began after a work injury on 10-18-21 as a certified home health aide. Period. She had prior medical care related to these complaints. Period. About 6 years ago, she underwent L4-5 decompression and fusion. Period. She claimed to be asymptomatic at the time of the work injury, the latest work injury. Period. This occurred when she was rolling a heavy set person. She had been to the emergency room and then at Virtual Occupational. Period. Dr. Mager reviewed the operative report from Dr. Lee describing L4-5 interbody and posterior lateral fusion on 6-29-15. Period. He diagnosed lumbar radiculopathy and noted she had recovered quite well and was asymptomatic at the time of the current injury. Period. He prescribed her Medrol dose pack and discussed possible lumbar MRI in the future. Period. A lumbar MRI was done at Larchmont Imaging on 1-28-22 and compared to a study of 11-24-21. Period. They described it 05-S1 was moderate right and severe left neural foraminal stenosis. Appeared there was postoperative changes at L4-5 and the hardware was intact. Period. Dr. Mega reviewed these results with her on 1/17/22. Period. He referred her for a CAT scan and discussed surgical approaches. Period. She did actually go. Lumbar spine x-rays on 11/24/21 compared to a CT urogram of 2/12/21 and lumbar radiographs from 11/15/12. Paired there was new grade 1 enteral anesthesis at 05-S1. Paired recommend clinical correlation for lower extremity symptoms. Paired this could be further evaluated by MRI or CT. Paired they also found mild spondylosis. Paired on 11/24/21, she did have a lumbar MRI. Paired at 05-S1, there was a moderate central left herniated disc and moderate spinal stenosis. Period at 04-5, there was evidence of prior surgery. Period. At the referral of Dr. Mager, she did undergo another lumbar MRI on 5/12/22. Period showed postoperative changes from L4 through S1. With susceptibility artifact from metallic hardware, obscuring detail of the spinal canal and neural foramina. Period, there was no evidence of significant disc bulge or herniation from L1-2 through L3-4. Period. She also had a CT of the lumbar spine that same day. Period, showed revised postoperative changes at L4-S1 with new left L5-S1 decompressive laminotomy, but no evidence of hardware complication. Period, there were multi-level degenerative changes of the lumbar spine. Period. On 3/21/22, she returned to Dr. Mager for a postoperative evaluation. Period, she had removal of L4-5 fixation with L5-S1, total lumbar interbody fusion with L4-5, and L5-S1, pedicle fixation on the left on 3/8/22. Period. She reported her preoperative symptoms had improved. Period, there was no drainage from her wound. Period, she continued to have paresthesias in her left leg. Period, she was using a walker. Period, he then referred her for a course of physical therapy. On 4/18/22, he did refer her for an MRI and a CAT scan as well as laboratory studies. Period. He wrote, with the exception of the inability to remove one of the previous pedicle screws, her surgery was uncomplicated and uneventful. Period, the inability to remove the one screw should not have any impact on her postoperative outcome. Period. She saw him again on 6/6/22. And reviewed the results of her CAT scan and lumbar spine. Period. She had her gabapentin dosage increased, and he kept her at activity modifications. Period. On 6/6/22, she claimed her pain has not changed from its preoperative condition. Period. Lumbar CAT scan was satisfactory. Paired lumbar MRI was compromised by metal artifact. Paired he observed that she continued to exhibit some signs of symptom magnification. appeared she was groaning to light palpation of her back. Appeared her motor effort appears limited by her volition. Period. He would not pursue another epidural injection. Period. Nevertheless, on 8/29/22, Dr. Mega wrote, she had one epidural steroid injection from Dr. Demian, D-E-M-I-A-N, on 6/29/22, and was seeing him monthly. Period. Her symptoms remained the same despite increasing her gabapentin and undergoing the injection. Period. She continued to exhibit signs of symptom magnification with breakaway type weakness in her left leg. Period. He suggested she consider returning to work without restrictions. The only indication of her restrictions is to prevent increased pain. Pierce did not want to do that, so he maintained her on restrictions. Brady concluded she had reached maximum medical improvement. Period. New paragraph. Initial radiographic reports were from Inspira Health. Scratch that. Were from Inspira Health on 3/8/22. This was Dr. Mager's actual operative report. He performed removal of hardware of L4-5 fixation and let an L5-S1 transforaminal lumbar interbody fusion with left L4-5 and L5-S1 pedicle fixation. Period. She was seen at the Pain Management Center on 12/10/21 by Dr. Demian. Period. He observed she had left low back pain radiating all the way down to the entirety of the left lower limb. Period. She had undergone diagnostic imaging. Period. He started her on gabapentin. And performed an epidural steroid injection. Period. He followed her progress on 6/29/22. And 7/29/22, appears she did not have even temporary relief with the epidural injection, but they would proceed with psychological evaluation for consideration of spinal cord stimulation for her post-lumbar laminectomy pain. Period. She was referred to Dr. Levin, L-E-V-I-N, in that regard. Period. New paragraph on 3/9/22, Dr. Mager performed explantation of hardware from L4-S1. As apparently noted previously, this procedure was done at Inspira Medical Center. Period. On 7/18/22, Dr. Demian, in fact, did perform an epidural injection. Period. New paragraph. Here is the description of some other diagnostic studies that may not have already been captured. Period. At Larchmont, she had a lumbar MRI on 11/24/21. At L5-S1, there was moderate central left herniated disc and moderate spinal stenosis. At L4-5, there was evidence of prior surgery. Period. On 1/28/22, she underwent a CAT scan. that demonstrated postoperative changes at 04-5, appeared the hardware was intact. Appeared at 05-S1, there is moderate right and severe left neural foraminal stenosis. Period. She did undergo surgery by Dr. Mager on 3-8-22. Period. The postoperative diagnosis was given of left L5-S1, disc herniation, and sciatica. Period. At Larchmont, she underwent a lumbar MRI on 11-24-21. Period. She also underwent flexion extension x-rays as previously described. Period. Finally, x-rays were done intraoperatively on 3-8-22 for fluoroscopic guidance. Period. Next section, findings and conclusions. It is now evident that the petitioner did undergo extensive evaluation and treatment for her lower back. Period. When evaluated here previously, I estimated ...0% permanent, partial, or total disability referable to the neurologic system, comma, head, comma, lumbar or cervical spine, comma, right shoulder or arm, comma, ribs, comma, and right leg. Period. I observed her subjective complaints are extremely disproportionate to the objective findings and mechanism of injury in this case from more than 5 years ago. Period. However, I was not in receipt of the concurrent medical documentation that you have now provided. Period. Accordingly, I would offer 10% permanent partial total disability at the lumbar spine, regardless of cause. Period. This takes into account her previous lumbar spine fusion at L4-5 in 2016, as well as the subsequent intraoperative findings. I was previously aware that after the alleged work incident of 111-18, she claimed to have experienced widespread injuries. Period. She also asserted another work injury in 2021. Period. It appears that this is primarily where the updated documentation focuses. Period. The additional investigation and treatment of her lower back symptoms since evaluated here did not permanently aggravate or accelerate her underlying pre-existing abnormalities. However, I have been asked to opine as to a level of disability with respect to the 10-18-21 claim involving her lower back. Period. And that is the end.